Rebecca, here's a question for you. My mom didn't do any of the things you recommend. When we did something wrong, she screamed at us. No coddling in the Haggerty household, let me tell you. And we turned out fine. Did my mom fail me?
Oh, no, no. I'm not saying.
No, no. Did my mom fail me? Did she fail me?
Well,
did my mom fail me? Did my mom fail me?
Are you asking me?
Yes. Did my mom love me? Tell me.
I'm sure she did.
I'm not asking you, Tracy.
I'm sure your mom loved you very much.
Exactly. Exactly. And I turned out fine. My mom didn't have your book. I'm fine.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide.
Being fruitful and multiplying is about more than a woman's ability to obtain, hold down, and sustain life. This is about her generously planting seeds in minds, incubating them for 3 minutes of your time, and letting the mic go. Knowing God will help them grow, and every time you speak his truth, you will become fruitful. Multiplying his word, amplifying what's read, walking in what you heard, all the while planting seeds along the way. You see, anybody can make a baby these days. But can you evoke a thought in your listeners that will have them leaning sideways because they want to become your fertile ground? They want to catch your every verb and noun and use your flow to cause each seed to grow, making the manure that is pumped inside your mind by the media useful. Can you stand in front of children and speak in a level underneath speech because they respond to other stimuli, like if your words and your heart meet and reflect what the other has projected? We need to make sure the minds and hearts of our children are protected, nurturing more than just the wombs of newborns who are expected, making the spoken word tradition once again respected because God gave it to us, and its power he perfected. In Genesis 1:28, when he told Adam to be fruitful and multiply, his words weren't rejected. He spoke to nothing and the world was erected. If you speak of nothing, then the world is neglected, infected with brainwashed dummies, well-preserved mentally dead mummies who are so wrapped up in themselves, they're okay with never being able to speak words that produce life, who are all right with never having to think twice because once was hard enough. About our children who are growing up claiming to be tough, speaking violence into existence and having their own words called their bluff, not realizing they just committed verbal suicide. We need to be fruitful and multiply in Baltimore City because the powers that be are unleashing an educational genocide, causing our young people to become dead children walking. This is what we need to do. We need to stand up, actively listen, and be cognizant of how we are talking. Tread lightly when we are walking because the fruits of a mother's labor are constantly watching and listening. You can see their eyes glistening. And if you look closely, you can see their minds processing every little thing you do, multiplying every action and becoming every negative epithet you spew. I wrote this for the youth so that they will know the truth. I wrote this for you to give of yourself because this is an emergency. I wrote this with a sense of urgency, like I've only got 9.5 more years to write because I was only given 33.5 years of life, so I'm preparing for my crucifixion right here tonight through self-sacrifice. And I'm engineering my resurrection from death's yoke with each pen stroke and every word I've spoke. I wrote this because when we are being fruitful and multiplying, speaking life to children dying, we're giving them a little bit of what they need most. And if you're wondering what that is, it's hope.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation presents Searching, a documentary series about and exclusively with young people today.
Searching for a better world, a better place to be. Searching for a little truth, a little honesty.
Part 1, My Folks Don't Understand Me.
Like if you're taking drugs or you're having premarital sex, you wouldn't want to go home and tell your parents that, because immediately, you know, you're not going out anymore. That's it. You're finished.
Oh, shotgun.
And this is, they've stopped communication.
And then they say, you're not telling me anything, yeah. You know. You don't tell me what you do when you come home from school, you know. And
so really, in that sense, it misses the point of whether premarital.
My mother really got upset one day when I told her if I ever had any problems, I'd never go to her, and she was really upset, you know.
Same thing when I told my parents that they didn't know me and I didn't know them, they just went insane.
You have to admit that parents and
I'm taken from the parents that I know, that they really don't have any idea what the hell is coming off. They don't have any idea where we're at. They don't know what we're doing. They don't know what we're doing. And they're blocking it out. They don't want to believe what is bad. They don't want to believe. They say, oh, well, Mrs. Baker's Johnny is doing dope, but my son, he doesn't do dope.
Students around and had a great quote. They asked her about, she was going to Coachella, and they asked her, are you going to get high or whatever? She's like, you know, I do this, I do that. And he's like, will you get high there? She's like, I don't know. She goes, I have a rule. I never get high if I have to pretend that I'm not.
Hey, coming up later in the hour, we're going to learn about the strange devices Chinese people use instead of forks. But first, our parenting expert, Rebecca McCallum, is here with some advice.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Rebecca. Now, Rebecca runs a popular parenting blog called Mom Magic.
That's right. It's about the everyday parenting choices that could make a big difference on our children.
Rebecca, I read the blog a lot. My first question is, who the hell do you think you are telling me how to raise my kids?
You know, I have a degree in early childhood education, but my greatest education has been raising three beautiful kids of my own.
Okay, well, let's just jump right in and get this over with. I understand you have some great advice for how to get kids to do their chores.
I do. For every chore your child does, reward them with 10 extra minutes of TV time. I found it really gets them excited about helping out.
That's great advice from someone who's never met my kids.
Or mine. And Rebecca, just by looking at your smug face, I can tell you have some more advice for our viewers who I'm sure couldn't have raised their kids if you hadn't deigned to talk to us today.
That's right, Tracy. One of the greatest frustrations that parents have is noisiness.
Sure.
Well, if your kids are the loud and rambunctious type, I suggest setting up quiet zones throughout the house where your children know to keep it down.
Quiet zones, wow. Billionaires with giant houses full of rooms to set aside, better listen up.
Now, and I find this incredible, Rebecca. While most parents would mind their own business, you decided to write a whole book telling people how to run their lives.
Well, I'm just really connected to my kids. If a mom can establish a strong enough connection to her little ones, they basically raise themselves.
Okay. Hey, Rebecca, what other bullshit do you have the nerve to share with us this morning?
I talk about this in my book, and it does take a lot of effort, but parents really should teach their child a second language. My daughter Hazel and I are learning French together.
Wow, you know, I'll bet a lot of moms watching right now are thinking, fuck you.
Well, I get that a lot, but the window during which language acquisition skills are at their peak is
small. I wish I had done that. You win, but guess what I just remembered? You're not my boss.
Now, since we won't be talked down to for another minute, we've got some questions from some parents out there for the almighty Rebecca.
Hi, I was wondering if you've ever been in a situation where you did not know the exact right thing to do, or are you feeling imperfect?
Well, you see,
sometimes... Just keep playing the questions. Don't let her answer.
Hi, Rebecca. My question is, how much do your kids hate you? A little or a lot?
Wow, that's a great question.
Now, Rebecca, before you go, why don't you also tell us how to do a better job hosting this show, since you're so smart.
Oh, I don't think that I could do
that. No, seriously, go ahead.
Okay, well, being a TV host is actually a lot like being a mom. You have to create fun situations that really engage the viewer.
Oh my God, she actually answered it.
Man is born, man lives, man dies. And it's all vanity. And that's about the way it is at the merry-go-round. You get on. You go around. Standing in the saddle. Tried thrills. He said, I gave myself to enjoy pleasure. What are teenagers doing today? They're trying every thrill there is in the books. We got colored TV, but it still isn't satisfying. We'll be right back.
Ah, horrible. Accidents every day. Yesterday, three high school students killed on the road.
The day before that awful factory accident. I get jittery worrying about my own family.
Who doesn't? And most accidents are due to carelessness. Funny thing, doctors seem to be able to get sickness and epidemics under control. But no one is able to stop accidents.
Yes, the city has a mighty tough job ahead if it wants to teach people to be more careful.
People take too many chances. They just don't think.
Yes, too many people do take chances without thinking. To combat this, federal, state, city, and lay organizations have joined to educate people toward carefulness, to cut down the enormous number of accidents due, in the main, to downright carelessness. Today, at every turn, the public is warned of ever-present danger. These constant reminders are doing a splendid job at urging all of us to alert. Unfortunately, there are too many people who forget too easily, and many individuals who take reckless chances at the expense of more cautious citizens. The result? An accident rate so great that officials are being forced to ask for more drastic laws to curb criminal carelessness.
This amateur video, shot from the dashboard of a car, recorded the moment the TransAsia plane clipped an overpass with its wing and crashed into a river in Taipei. At least 19 people have been killed after the passenger jet crashed minutes after takeoff. The TransAsia ATR-72-600 plane with 58 people on board was on a domestic flight when it hit a road bridge in the capital of Taiwan. The moment of impact was captured on this passing driver's dashcam and shows the aircraft's wing clipping a taxi before it disappears out of view. The plane also appears to miss apartment buildings by meters. The footage shows a van skidding to a halt on the damaged overpass after barely missing the plane's wing, with small pieces of the aircraft scattered along the road. Taiwan's Civil Aeronautics Administration said 19 people were confirmed dead, 15 were injured and 24 still missing.
To the public health official, the comparison of accident figures is strikingly revealing. While the battle against disease and epidemic gradually is being won, in contrast, the accident toll charts an undiminishing grim line of needless death. In 1 year in the United States, 10,500 people died from influenza. Meningitis claimed 1,700 lives. Poliomyelitis accounted for 1,200 deaths. The year's heavy toll of tuberculosis took 53,000 lives. Deaths from other communicable diseases totaled 27,000. But accidents in a single year claimed 100,000 lives, far exceeding the death toll of all communicable diseases combined.
An outbreak of the bubonic plague has killed dozens of people in Madagascar, with experts fearing that numbers could rise. The World Health Organization said that at least 119 cases were confirmed last year, including 40 deaths. The plague, which is also known as the Black Death, was once the deadliest epidemic to hit Europe in the 14th century, killing 50 million people. It almost single-handedly wiped out 30 to 60% of Europe in nearly a century. The plague is caused by Yersinia pestis, a bacteria found in rodents and spread by fleas. When humans are infected by rats and fleas, they can develop spots on their skin that turn black. Once infected, the disease can rapidly spread. Recent flooding in Madagascar has displaced tens of thousands of people, along with untold numbers of rats, leading to fears that the plague could take hold. The World Health Organization said that if diagnosed early, the plague can be successfully treated. However, if it spreads to the lungs, becoming the pneumonic plague, it's one of the most deadly infectious diseases, and patients can die 24 hours after infection. While only 8% of cases develop into the pneumonic plague, the organization said it's unclear how many of the current cases in Madagascar have already advanced to the later stages.
The death figures are small compared to the whole story. What would you do if you faced this situation? This is a time to be calm and deliberate. Yet seconds may count now, may mean the difference between life and death. How can he stop her bleeding? What should he do first? Should he be pulled to the roadside? Wanting to help, but terrified because he does not know what to do. Would you know? With your knowledge, would you really risk dealing with this situation? Will they die because of his failure? What if she has a broken leg? If only someone were here who knew first aid to help until a doctor comes. If, lives depend on that if. How many people face life unprepared for emergency, depending on others' aid, chancing someone always will show up to handle their difficulties, someone else? Fortunately, there are people who, appreciating their duty to others, manage to prepare themselves with the know-how to meet ordinary emergencies, a true responsibility of good citizenship that none too many of us think about.
Trying to wake her up, but you can't.
Yeah.
A very brave 5-year-old schoolgirl has been hailed a hero after she calmly called 999 to help save her mother's life. After mum Katie fell unconscious at their home in Rugby last Thursday morning, daughter Sienna remained calm on the phone whilst looking after her younger brother Riley, aged 1. The dramatic audio clip of the 999 call was released on Tuesday and captures the moment Sienna talked operators through the incident as Katie lay lifeless on the floor.
Okay. All right, Gemma. Okay, well, see if we can get somebody around there straight. Where's Mummy now? Is she upstairs in bed?
Collapsed on the floor.
She's collapsed on the floor.
And now she's shaking.
Now she's shaking?
Yeah.
Okay, ambulance 58, please, Ali. All right, Gemma, just stay on the line for me. Where's Mummy now, then?
Still in the kitchen, shaking.
Mummy, is she lying on the floor, is she?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Gemma. All right, you keep talking to me. Are you able to open the door if the policemen get there to let them in?
No.
You're not?
No.
Okay. Is Daddy there?
No. He's at work.
Daddy's at work. All right. Where's
and I can't get...
You can't what, sorry, sweetheart?
Go to school.
All right, is Mummy talking at all?
No.
Okay, just bear with me a minute.
Katie was treated by ambulance staff at the scene and has now recovered from the incident. 5-year-old hero Sienna is to be commended for her courage in front of her classmates during a school assembly.
Tell me one thing.
chance saved her life. Good fortune in the form of a person who knew first aid, knew what to do, controlled the hemorrhage before the ambulance reached the scene, saved her from bleeding to death. Most people believe they know what to do in case of an accident. Our observation is that unless they are first aid trained, they do not know. Except for ambulance-attended cases, of 50 patients brought in here with fractures, perhaps... ...cases come in smeared with grease, butter, lard, and this often leads to infection. People try to help in an emergency. They mean well, but untrained people just don't do the right thing. Yet, a little real knowledge of first aid gained so easily by attending a free instruction class would help to save many families much misery.
Today and every working day, at Red Cross classes throughout the country, serious-minded men and women, young and old, are gaining priceless knowledge of first aid to cope with most emergency situations. If we expect others to help us or our families in time of crisis, we, too, should be qualified to help them. It is laudable to learn first aid so that we can help others. And it is elementary common sense to know first aid for our own family protection. And you'll be surprised at how much there is to learn. You won't learn diagnosis at a first aid class, but you will learn to check where principal injuries are and how to protect those parts. Advances in medicine have changed many old customs. You will learn of the changes. Red Cross training will fit you to give proper first aid using safest methods recommended by eminent doctors. As you learn more about lacerations, broken bones, shock, burns, you will become more safety-minded. You will guard against needless accidents. And being on guard prevents many accidents.
Seven people have been killed and 12 were injured when a commuter train in New York hit a Jeep on the tracks. Six passengers on board the train died, as well as the Jeep driver, during the evening rush hour commute, with hundreds on board the train. Passengers tried to smash their way out of the train when the Jeep and the front of the train burst into flames on collision. It's not yet clear why the vehicle stalled on the tracks, but the Metropolitan Transport Authority said the driver had got out of the car briefly to try and push it off the tracks and then got back into the car before it was hit by the train. The train had left Grand Central Terminal about 45 minutes before the accident, and services have now been suspended on parts of the line.
There's a steel train coming through. I would take it if I could. And I would not lie to you, because Sunday morning soon will come when things would be much easier to say upon the microphone like a boss DJ. But I won't walk up upon the sea like it was dry land. The boss DJ, he ain't nothing but a man. No trouble, no fuss, I know why. Funky, not a junkie, but I know where to get it. No trouble, no fun.
ready. Don't stop the music. I wanna know, are you feeling the same way too? I wanna rock it with you, girl.
Industry has its accident problems. Safety experts are working constantly to eliminate unnecessary hazards and to fight carelessness. Vigilance is the rule among employees. Yet, despite precautions, there were 2 million accidents in industry last year. The cost? 46 million workdays. Economic loss? $2 billion. A major factor in cutting down the accident rate in many plants is the introduction of Red Cross first aid classes. There is no guesswork in evaluating first aid instruction in industry. The records of plants, large and small, tell the same story. First aid trained people have fewer accidents. Practical knowledge of what to do before the doctor comes saves many lives each day. Proper first aid practice helps minimize injuries. In developing safety-mindedness, it tends to prevent them. First aid classes are, logically, a part of good safety campaigns. Industrial organizations, large and small, echo their approval. High on the list of accident breeding places is the farm. That supposedly peaceful life we read about is actually fraught with daily danger. Farm families have more accidents than any other occupational group. With doctors and hospitals many miles distant, with immediate care and long transportation often necessary, farmers need first aid education much more than most people. Agricultural organizations now urge that at least two persons on each farm qualify in first aid. Farmers have responsibility for their families and their hired help, too. Among children of all age groups, accidents lead as a cause of death. Educators are presenting courses in safety and first aid to impress students with the hazards of carelessness. It is hard to teach children to be careful. They're full of life and sometimes reckless when at play. School training cannot promote safety without reminders from home, too. Constant hints that children should be smart enough to avoid accidents.
This footage shows various scenes of a reenactment of the crime scene surrounding the murders of 43 Mexican students. The student teachers who disappeared 4 months ago were murdered on the orders of a drug cartel who mistook them for members of a rival gang, officials said on Tuesday. Finally confirming the deaths of the trainee teachers, Mexico's attorney general has said he is certain that all of the students were killed and burned before their remains were thrown into a river. Felipe Rodriguez, an arrested member of Gang Guerreros Unidos, has confessed to being given the order by one of his bosses to execute the 43 students. The case has caused considerable controversy in Mexico, with some fire experts claiming the government's rendition of events is implausible. The disappearance of the students on the night of September 26th led to massive street protests and international condemnation of Mexico's security situation.
Now this one to the kids and to the girl and with the angel face and the devil heart. You know, so ragamuffin check and the most new plant players come to deal in the case. Step up my youth, hear this.
I know this little girl, her name is Maxine.
Her beauty's like a bunch of rose. If I ever tell you about Maxine, your older say I don't know what I know. But murder she wrote.
Real, real.
Murder she wrote. Murder she wrote. Murder she wrote.
Action with him, a pretty face and bad character. Them the kind of living can hold chaka. Follow me. A pretty face and bad character. Them the kind of living can hold chaka. Say girl you pretty, your face it pretty, but your character dirty. Girl you just a act too flirty, flirty. You run to Tom Dick and also hurry. And when you find your mistake, you talk about your sorry, sorry, sorry. Come now.
Have a cozy corner where she jokes and where she jam. She know about Luke, Jack and every money man. True. Make love with the coolie Chinese, white man and Indian. The wickedest kind of girl that miss her flyers go pop. And now do you heard about this girl, her name is Maxine. Her beauty's like a bunch of rose. And if I ever tell you about Maxine, your older say I don't know what I know. But murder she wrote.
Murder Richard, man.
Murder she wrote. Murder she wrote. Na na na. Murder she wrote.
Watch her now stand still. You're not paying me like Bill. If you're testing ragamuffin, girl, you're going to get killed. Girl, keep wait. Cause you a crembe, crembe. And the lyrics when me talk, if me DJ, girl, come out. Because you're not shock out. And when you hear them ragamuffin, you have to jump and shout. Don't touch me gate. You're not paying me water with the concrete. It's great, great, you're underrated. Follow me. Your pretty face and bad character. Them the kind of living can hold chaka. Follow me. Your pretty face and bad character. Them the kind of living can hold chaka. Say girl you're pretty, your face ain't pretty, but your character dirty. Girl you just a act too flirty, flirty. You run to Tom Dick and also hurry. And when you find your mistake, you talk about your sorry, sorry, sorry.
Now every middle of the year this young girl have a passion. Pretty coolie white and Indian Mexican killing his fan. And just the other day me see her 6 months pregnant. Now she bump a sweet again with not a baby in a prom. Do you heard about this girl? Her name is Maxine. Her beauty's like a bunch of rose. And if I ever tell you about Maxine, your older say I don't know what I know. But murder she wrote. Murder she wrote. Murder she wrote. No, no, no. Murder she wrote.
Excuse me. Y'all never know what I saw you see. Ragamuffin Jack and demons come to flash it same way. Oh, follow me. Your pretty face and bad character. Them the kind of living can hold chaka. Follow me. Your pretty face and bad character. Them the kind of living can hold chaka. So girl you're pretty, your face ain't pretty, but your character dirty. Girl you just act too flirty, flirty. You run to Tom Dick and also hurry. And when you find your mistake, you talk about your sorry, sorry, sorry. The girl a boss and a rag on, she look sexy. All she worship is being vanity. The girl a boss and a rag on, she look ready. When she wash her clothes, it dirty. Girl, you not ready. If you can't cook for me, girl, you not ready. If you can't wash for me, girl, you not ready. If you know you're flirty, flirty, follow me. Your pretty face and bad character. Them the kind of living can hold chaka. Follow me now. Your pretty face and bad character. Them the kind of living can hold chaka. So stand still. You're not paying me like.
One more to the thousands on thousands of home accidents happening each day. Home, you'll be surprised to learn, is one of the greatest danger zones of all. An accident in your home affects a loved one. Here, your ability to give prompt first aid is of precious value. Are you prepared? But where knowledge of first aid is of the greatest importance is on our nation's roaring highways. As each day sees steadily increasing traffic, each day's accident menace grows greater. Think of it. Accident fatalities far beyond the death toll of our last two wars combined. Familiar scene. Junior borrowing the family car. Dad and mother cautioning, "Now drive slowly, take it easy." If these parents only knew, more effective than warnings for youngsters, actual Red Cross first aid instruction and studying about critical injuries punches home the necessity of being more safety-minded. the open road and a fine day. Warning? Just another sign. Better go slower, Junior. Remember those newspaper headlines? Ah, that's other people. Poor drivers. Not Junior. He can outdrive anyone on the road. Luckily, most drivers are courteous and careful. Good drivers usually are. But Junior, what about other innocent people you jeopardize? Let them worry. Nice going, fine car, sleek, smooth as a jet plane. See, Junior can pass any car on the road, and with power to spare. Junior, as a driver, you think you're tops. But there are other drivers who think they're tops.
Bruce Jenner has been involved in a car crash in Southern California in which one woman died and seven others were injured. The Olympic gold medalist and reality TV star was in one of four cars involved in the crash, which happened shortly after midday on Saturday in Malibu. Police say Jenner was going north when his black Cadillac Escalade rear-ended a Lexus sedan that just struck the back of a black Toyota Prius. The Lexus veered into oncoming traffic in a southbound lane and collided head-on with a black Hummer. The driver of the Lexus, a woman in her 70s, was pronounced dead at the scene.
Needed a guide like a blind veteran's dog, cause I was going nowhere. Like a child's letters to God, the knife's road was hard. I was never so lost that I looked for an answer and I met as a box. I never did pop pills or cocktails, just rock tails. Kids with skills still got a rasp for cocks killed. They'd have me in the back of a paddy, down the locker. Smack me, pat me down for a bag, mom's a rocker. And bow me out, I'll fuck you out once again next weekend. Bow me out drunk again, and I never will forgive myself for putting you through all that hell. I went from high school dropout to factory laborer, slave to the clock at 2-4. Went from sleeping on the floor to being out on tour. Now no stopping me, I'll finish with a bang like a Cobain's biography.
Going down a hard road,
down the high road.
Was enough to buy a drink. Was on a path to nowhere, the harder the road. The more broken baggage we carry, the larger the load. The school dropback, I'm knocked out, chased by the cops out. Got clout, dumped by my girlfriend and locked out. Been broken, beaten, even choked at being a dope MC, even never lost hope and dreaming. We used to thrash, push the car, silver engine and foul. If I never had bail, maybe I'll be dead or in jail. Oh man, I got no one else to blame. I'll thank my family and music for keeping me sane. But that's the price, right? Started working late nights, never seeing daylight, getting paid like a slave might. And I've done too many years to miss this for my missus to have to tell my son he nearly never existed.
Going down a hard road,
down the hard road.
Don't know where I've been,
don't know where to go or slide.
Going down a hard road,
down the hard road. In the booth, in the spirit of truth, cause all these kids that I meet, man, they mirror my youth. And I could have gone the wrong way,
the easy option,
but I chose to go the long way.
The streets are watching, sir.
So keep a lookout, look out, be ballers. Keep your hook up, pull a page, rip my book out, and pull out your finger, put your foot out. And keep a lookout for what we put out, the brand new flavor for your cookout.
Going down a hard road,
down the hard road.
I'm walking round in circles.
any time to anyone. When old people die, it is sad. But when youngsters are crippled, youth, promise, and achievement unrealized, it is even more tragic. It takes more than sympathy to help injured persons. It may be some time before a doctor can be procured, and these youngsters need help urgently. It is here that Red Cross training pays big dividends. For it is only first aid trained men and women who know what help safely can be given before the doctor arrives. Men and women who have taken this training because of their feeling of obligation to their families and to their fellow men. Red Cross has prepared many of your neighbors for emergency to aid the injured during those long, anxious minutes before professional help can reach them, to help someone's loved one in pain. Who knows? Perhaps someday, someone in your family. Such help is heartening, but the record is frightening. 10 million accidents a year, in our homes and industry, on our farms and on our highways, at work and at play. Accidents to our neighbors, accidents in our own family. Every passing hour, 1,100 more people being injured, in need of quick aid, trained aid. This is the nation's problem. It is the responsibility of every community leader, and it is your problem and mine. Red Cross classes are ready to give you the know-how to meet emergencies. Everyone should share the responsibility of knowing what to do so that proper help for the injured always will be quickly available. Sometime, somewhere, with the nearest doctor miles away, another person's life will be in your hands. You should be prepared for that critical moment. Remember, every day, everywhere, danger is your companion.
The dramatic moment, a pensioner was rescued by lifeboat volunteers from a freezing river in Wales.
I'll jump on.
The 70-year-old man fell into the water on Saturday as he tried to board his boat on the River Conway.
Can you lift him a little bit there?
David Starks then began to drift out to sea with the outgoing tide. He managed to grab hold of a boat to try to stay afloat in the water until help arrived. RNLI volunteers were working nearby when the call for help was received and sped out to reach the man. The pensioner was taken back to shore where a waiting ambulance took him to hospital for further treatment. He made a full recovery and returned to the lifeboat station the next day to say thank you.
Stopping eating when I am full of.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Now, GoFindTheOthers.com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.